This has got you written all over it. The Mets stayed in a Pittsburgh hotel that also hosted a convention of people dressed up as furry creatures.
Oh, no.
Is this Wilbon's worst nightmare?
No, it's worse than my worst nightmare. My worst nightmare is mascots.
Look at that.
But you know what? Mascots get paid. These people pay to stay in a hotel and look like animals. What are they thinking, Bobby?
All right, let me tell you something. This is what here's the real story here.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
In 40 years worth of being on the road, traveling around this great land of ours, checking into countless hotels of all stripes, here's what I've learned. There's a frightening amount of subcultures out there, Mike, and they all have conventions.
Yeah, but you've never
and
seen
I
these
just
people.
Want them all to understand one thing.
I've never seen them.
Stay away from me.
Thank you very much.
So when did you actually believe that they might win the championship? It's kind of interesting, perspective, because I think you're one of the few. Well, Rich Dolan and some other people had called the Yankees the previous year, but they always think they're going to win the championship. What I mean here is like, at what point were you like, holy shit, they might actually win this thing?
It was pretty late going in. I think it was like in August. They were 6.5 games back, maybe more, of the Padres. And it's like, shit, man. You know, these guys got a great pitching staff, but they couldn't beat the Padres. At one time, the record against the Padres, they had like one win out of 10 games. The Padres had their number, you know. And so I went out of the country to South America in mid-August, and they were 6.5 behind.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wrote them off.
You left the country, even. You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, I had enough. And so I wasn't even paying attention. I was doing other things for about a week and a half. And I got on the internet one day, and I go, shit, let me check out the standings, see what's going on here. And it's like, holy crap, they almost caught up with them, the Padres. During that period, I wasn't paying attention. The Padres lost like 10 games in a row. And he believes, you know, sometimes it's like whatever. He gets superstitious. Maybe I shouldn't even pay attention for a while, you know. And that's what gave him the impetus to make that comeback. So that's how, with the sheer force of my will, they caught up with the Padres. And, hell, it came down to the final game of the season.
Yeah,
and, it was never easy with the team, and they have a part of the crew that does their games on the radio. I think they're two of the best dudes in the country. Is Mike Kruko and Dwayne Kuiper? I don't know if you know those guys. They're former players. They're really good, and it was one of those games towards the end of the season. They came up with the tagline. It was the Giants against, I think it might have been the Padres. And it was one of those games, ninth inning, bases loaded. Adrian Gonzalez was up. There was two outs. You know, it was an important game. Brian Wilson was up there. Got two strikes on him. And then three balls. And it was like one of those battles where Adrian Gonzalez fouled it off about 30 times.
Yeah.
You're just dying listening to it. And that's when Kruko came up with the tagline after the game was over. He goes, Giants baseball, torture! And so, shit, I knew they had a good team. But I think in that Philadelphia series, I knew, these guys got some mojo going now, and they're confident, and everybody seems to be clicking. So, yeah, it was in the division, series that, or the pennant series that I felt, they got a good chance of doing this.
Now, did you attend the parade, or were you still in Maine at that time?
After going to that frickin' thing we did in Salem,
you
want to deal with that many damn people? I'm a couple hours away, but I'll be damned if I'm going into San Francisco. I don't even know. They must have had 500,000 people on the streets, maybe more. That's insane.
Would have been like Salem all over again for you.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't need that. But I am this year going to my first game at AT&T. We got tickets for July 18th against Greg Bishop's Los Angeles Dodgers.
Oh, nice.
That's the first game I've been to that parking. I used to go to Candlestick back in the day. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
As a hated rival of the Dodgers, you must really be rubbing it in. You must really be happy to see the Dodgers fans pretty upset that you guys have won.
Oh, of course. What else can you say? You know that guy Chris Russo?
Vaguely, I think. Yeah, the sportscaster?
He's an East Coast guy, but he's a Giants fan. And he has this incredibly funny rant he did a few years ago. I don't know if you've ever heard it. You got to try to find it. It's probably on the net where just going, one time, just one time, win me a World Series. And he goes on this crazy rant. Well, he finally got his one time. There is kind of group of hardcore San Francisco Giant fans back on the East Coast. In fact, there's a bar somewhere there in New York where it's dedicated to the Giants. You know, of course, they came from New York, so those ties are still there. But a lot of those old-timer hardcore guys about died off by now.
So the team, did they make any changes here in the offseason, or are they sticking with the central core? I know Edgar Renteria, did he leave? Yeah, I think he left, right?
Yeah, they didn't sign Renteria, but to replace him, they got Tejada, Miguel Tejada.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah, he's good.
Formerly of the A's and the Orioles. Maybe some, probably more better hitting out of Tejada, even though Renteria is a clutch dude. So that was the main thing. But they got one of the big stories is Pablo Sandoval has lost like 48 pounds.
Oh, wow. Kung Fu Panda? And, is that what did they call him?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, he hit 330. So going into last season, that 330 was his rookie season, but he always kind of had a problem with his weight, and going into last season, he was dialed in as their main hitter in the three hole there, as they say. But his off-season regimen, you know, they wanted him to lose some weight because that was becoming an issue, but he didn't going into last season. He got a divorce and kind of had a crummy season. He did a little bit in the postseason, but they told him, hey, dude, if you want to stay on the team and have a career, you need to lose some weight because it's becoming an issue. So during the off season, like I said, he lost something like 48 pounds.
Oh,
looks
wow.
Like a new man, and he's just kicking ass during the Cactus League. So that's going to be an addition there. Then they got this young stud besides Posey. You know, they didn't have Posey starting the season last year. There's another guy called Brandon Belt, who I think they're going to do what they did with Posey. They won't bring him up immediately, but he's in their plans for the future at first base, and he's been tearing it up. He's been the most productive here in spring training, and everybody's raving about this guy. He's like, could be another Posey type. And so I suspect he'll come in at some point in the season, so that's an upgrade there. Then, you know, basically the rest of the they didn't make any other changes besides that. Didn't lose anybody on the pitching staff, so that's why I'm saying.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, they got a stronger team this year, and yeah, they could repeat. It's possible. I mean, it's hard. It's a long shot. You got. Like anything, you got injuries and all that stuff that always play into it, so you never know.
Yeah, it's a very long season. It's very long.
It's a marathon.
Indeed. Yeah, well, I was just thinking as you were talking about it and everything, you know, it's just funny how when we first started this special, like 4 years ago or something like that, we were kind of laughing about how futile the team was and everything. So, you know, things can turn around for anybody, I guess, in a few years.
Yeah, you know, part of it, I always liked Brian Sabian.
Yeah.
He's the GM there. And he was known, you know, when they were competing earlier on in the decade, he had a magic touch of making late season moves and putting a good team together. He never quite got over the hump with Bonds then. there was some decisions made there in the years they stunk that he didn't have a say, like the Zito thing.
Yeah.
The former owner, that was kind of his deal. So I think Sabian was just waiting for his time, and they changed ownership, and he basically showed what he can do. I think he's one of the best GMs. And they got a hell of a good manager, too, I felt, when they got Bochy. They got a good dude, and that proved to be true.
Well, I love the guy who does the TV commentary. He used to do the ESPN ones, but he doesn't do them anymore. It's like a fat little ball guy.
Oh, John Miller.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's another one of the Giants, I think, have the best broadcasting team with Krupp and Kipe, and John Miller's that guy's tremendous. He's famous for, if there's a rain delay or something, he's got these incredibly great stories. You don't hear that stuff on the ESPN, it's only the radio. He's funny as hell in these great stories and does these imitations of different sports people. He's really good. He's the best, John Miller. He got last year voted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But he was inducted with, I guess every year they do...
Broadcasters and stuff.
It's called the Fred Firth or something Award for Broadcasting. So, all the great ones, and Miller is one of those. I guess they induct one a year. Maybe not even that much, but, yep.
Very
Hall of Famer.
Nice. All right, should we dive into predictions? Because we always have... you always like to break the mold, not just with the predictions, but obviously once we finish talking about the baseball season, we have to start talking about the basketball as well. So I have a feeling we're going to end up going about 5-10 minutes on that too. So let's get into the predictions first. So who do you
start?
What's that? We'll start since you're National League. We'll start in the National League East. Who you got?
Okay. I've given this a little bit of thought.
Yeah. Before we dive in, is there any manifesto this year towards the plan?
No, there's no, in the past I had like the Costanza method. And,
yeah.
Then one year I picked teams that were in last place.
Yeah, and then
first place.
One about how much they paid the teams, and you just sort of a mix last year like that. Yeah,
that was last year, and that almost worked out for me.
Oh yeah, I should mention too. You've been campaigning here to win some kind of award. I mean, I don't know, just because you didn't even pick the Giants to go all the way. That makes it so much more difficult for me. If you had them going all the way, then it would be like, well, you picked the team kind of out of nowhere that went all the way, but. It's like you only took them so far, but I'm thinking some kind of Silver Slugger type award. I'm not sure yet.
Whatever, I got over that. I just felt, if your team goes all the way, that should
get you something.
Extra points. Yeah, whether you picked them or not.
All right, well, that's what I'm... All right, Silver Slugger, then. You're going to get... Well, maybe we'll name it after you as well, so it'll be the Adam Gorightly Silver Slugger.
There you go, yeah.
All right, so what do you have for this year, your predictions? We'll start in the National League East.
Well, I may be on some of these, I'll be doing a little wacky method. In the East, I got a feeling it's going to be either Philadelphia or Atlanta. And, everybody thinks Philadelphia, with all the pitching they got, is going to be the team to, the favorite to... win the World Series. Of course, they've had this rash of injuries lately, mm-hmm. I feel like there's kind of a negative dark cloud over the Phillies. So I'm not sure. It could be Phillies or Atlanta, but what I'm going to do is toss a coin.
Oh.
And I'll say heads Philly and tails Atlanta, and let's see. Heads Philadelphia.
All right.
So we'll take the Phillies there in the East.
Okay. Interesting methodology this year. It's sort of like you're going with your gut, but you're also pulling in some kind of metaphysical lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
And also playing the odds,
Mm-hmm.
So in the Central, I'm going with the Chicago Cubs.
All right. Nice. Okay.
Don't ask me why. It'll make sense later. In the West, I think the wild card's going to come out of the West.
Interesting. All right.
And I think the two teams there are the Giants and the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
The Rockies always seem to have a good team, and they got some, you know, they got some offense there. So, but I'm not. Once again, I'm going to flip the coin, and heads will win the division. And so I'll say San Francisco heads, San Francisco heads and Colorado tails, and we'll see who wins here. Okay, we're going to have Colorado winning the division with the Giants as the wild card.
All right. This is spooky, this whole... I love it. All right, so the American League East, who you got?
The Red Sox.
Seems the popular choice this year, for sure.
Yeah, with Carl Crawfish and Adrian Gonzalez, and my sources tell me their pitching staff is pretty good. That's what you said. So
yeah.
We'll go with the Red Sox.
All right. The American League Central.
We're going with the Chicago White Sox, just because Ozzie Guillen is such a bitchin' dude.
All right. The American League West.
Oakland A's.
All right. Is there much of a rivalry between Oakland and San Francisco, or is that just sort of a more geographic rivalry?
If Oakland starts winning some games, maybe not really, but, you know, people try to make you think that, to sell tickets. They're playing they just had a little series here, spring training series. And so, yeah, it's always fun when those teams play, you know, because it's that Bay Bridge thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I need to think about this a little bit here about the wild card. Okay, yeah, let's go with Oakland, and then for the wild card, this is going out on a limb. I'm going to take the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow! Kudos.
Every year, isn't it? Somebody comes out of nowhere, so somebody's got to get lucky. Why not me?
Exactly.
Why not now? Why not me?
Why not the Orioles? Well, that's stunning. I like that. Okay, so all right. Wow.
The Baltimore Orioles are going to shock the world.
All right. Who do you have in the American? We'll go with National League first. Who do you have in the National League to win the whole thing?
Well, this is where we go into the coin toss thing again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two scenarios for the World Series. One is going to be a Windy City World Series with the Chicago Cubs and the White Sox. That's one scenario.
Nice.
Or a Bay Bridge Series with the San Francisco Giants and the Oakland A's.
Wow.
So let's go. Heads will be the Giants and the A's, and the tails will be the two Chicago teams. So come on, Giants.
Yes.
It's going to be the Giants.
And the A's.
And the A's.
Wow. And for the whole thing, who's winning it all?
Well, I better go with the Giants, because if I don't pick them this time and they win, then...
You'll be a double Silver Slugger Award winner.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, some bold predictions there, but I like it. I like that. I'm impressed.
You got to go out on a limb a little bit, you know?
Well, everybody took Philly to win the National League, so I ended up taking up the Braves. I decided to go out on a limb and kind of like what you did with the Orioles there, back a dark horse to sort of get the magic going at the right time. And I feel like the Phillies are a flawed team, even though they have all that great pitching.
Well, check it out. You know, if you look at the history of these deals where they bring in these pitchers.
Yeah, I saw that stat. Yeah.
A lot of times it don't pan out, especially if they're older. If you got a young staff like the A's, have a pretty good young up-and-coming staff, and of course the Giants do. When they start getting into their 30s, you know, usually, unless they're on steroids like whoever, you know, Clemens or those guys. You know, they have longer careers, but usually by when they get into their 30s, mid-30s, then they're not as productive.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the Achilles, one of them, and they've had all these rash injuries. They lost Jason Worth. Utley's out now. I don't know if they got that much offense.
Yeah, they're spotty. All right. Giants all the way here over Oakland. Interesting. I like it.
I had to come up with something. Yeah, okay.
Well, now that we have you here, obviously, for the baseball special, it's time for our secret additional conversation, which, of course, revolves around the NBA and the basketball season. We're just about at the start of playoffs. And your beloved L.A. Lakers aren't looking too good, pal. Actually, they're kind of on fire, aren't they?
What do you mean secret? This isn't very secretive we're talking about.
Well, it's tucked away in the baseball special, this weird little pocket of basketball discussion.
Here's my thoughts going into the All-Star break. And before that, I thought the finals would be, even though the Lakers weren't doing all that great then, I thought the finals would be the Celtics and the Lakers again. And I felt the Celtics had a bit of an edge at that time because they had the best record at that time.
Yeah.
And but then after that silly trade that Danny Ainge made... I'm serious. That tipped the scales, and the Lakers have been kicking ass here recently. So I don't even know if at this point I'd have to think if it's going to be the Celtics in the finals. The Bulls are playing pretty damn good.
Yeah, the Bulls are playing really well.
I think Danny Ainge is I've never thought much of him as a general manager. I thought he lucked into that whole thing where they got Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, yeah.
Inside deal with Kevin McHale. Before that, the Celtics sucked for a couple of years. He was just making all kinds of screwy moves, like he was grasping at straws. Then he got that dropped in his lap. It's like, oh, he's a genius, you know? Well, I don't think so. And he, what do you think about that Kendrick Perkins trade?
I'm kind of disappointed in it. And I don't really, these new guys haven't gelled very well with the team, so.
The thing they had where they could hang with the Lakers, you know, by having that inside presence, some guys who were mean, rough, and dirty.
Yeah.
And so they lost that.
Exactly.
They lost quite a bit of that, and you still have Kevin Garnett, but he's not quite where he was when they won the championship.
The big debate here is whether they're falling into the same thing they did last year, which is just cruise now into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody said, you know. It was like no one gave them a chance last year, and then they just turned it on in the playoffs and went all the way to, you know, very close to winning.
You don't do that on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
You kind of like the Lakers. I mean, they do that too, but going into the playoffs, you want to be clicking on, you know,
yeah,
all cylinders.
Well, we'll see. You know, well, how do you think the Heat are going to do?
I don't think they're quite there yet. I don't think they're going to make it in the finals. It'll be the Celtics or the Bulls.
I feel like the playoffs are very difficult. The one thing I don't like about the NBA sometimes is just that I feel like they should shorten the season or something because the playoffs are so long. They call it the second season, and that's true because it's like...
It's too long, but it's like they're not going to shorten the season. It's all
revenue, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with the Heat, it changes in the playoffs, you know. They just the strategies.
That's true.
The Heat can turn it up when they're kind of in an up. Tempo, open court thing. Those guys can go to work. But when you get into the playoffs with the Lakers and the Celtics, they're going to slow it down.
Yeah.
and pack it in, then those guys need to hit shots. And you see what happens, you know, with LeBron this season. So they need more. They don't quite have the inside presence, I think, to go all the way. But who knows?
Yeah,
they're definitely talented, though I hate them.
Well, I was really looking forward to rubbing it in when Celtics were so close to winning in that Game 7.
Oh, yeah.
I was really looking forward to it. I was watching the game, you know, halftime. I'm like, I'm calling Go Rightly as soon as I get home.
I thought, shit, they had that game in the bag.
Yeah, it's all very, Perkins, you know, he went down in that Game 6, and when they lost him, it just messed everything up. Kind of what's happening now. They need to readjust to, they need Shaq back, really. That's the big problem.
Mm-hmm. I think they've been holding him out.
That's what I think, too, yeah. Yeah, they're going to bring him back a couple weeks before the playoffs start. Then he'll be ready to go. And he was really good this season, at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
So I have a feeling he might be the spark they need.
Yeah, maybe.
You know you want to see Shaq face off against Kobe one time in the finals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I've been surprised. That guy's amazing for, I think he's like 38. Who would have thunk that he'd even be around and being productive, you know? Maybe he's on roids, too.
That's possible. I suspect that about the NBA. They don't really ever talk about it, but you'd think, like, I swear that LeBron James has to be on steroids.
There's been a few players. I mean, for the most part, the way the game is, you don't want to be all buffed up and muscle bound, but if you're an inside player, like the guys that have stood out to me maybe on roids were maybe Shaq. Yeah, he's a monster. He was always big, but he got bigger as he got older. Karl Malone, that guy was chiseled.
Yeah.
Somebody like Alonzo Mourning, he had kidney problems later in his career, and a lot of people went,
Yeah.
And, yeah, LeBron, he's a freak.
I should have asked referee about it. I didn't think to ask about steroids.
Yeah, I would suspect a low percentage of the players are on something. Not like, you know, baseball was in its heyday or football.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens, Go Rightly. We'll see what happens. Because if it's Celtics-Lakers... Maybe I'll bring you back on the show so we can debate it.
If the Celtics and the Lakers make it into the championship, I guarantee a Lakers victory, or I will shave my head.
I was waiting for that because you wagered, the head shaving, and I accepted, and then you backed out of it. And if you had won, I would have had to shave my head if you had just stayed in the bet.
I shouldn't have said anything. I got scared, man.
I was terrified, but I agreed to it. I had a lot to drink for a couple of days, and then I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I'll shave my head if they lose. I was so fired up. And then you were like, no, you're crazy. What are you, some kind of asshole?
Well, I started to have doubts, and I didn't want to have to shave my head. Chickened out.
All right, tell you what. If there's a rematch this year, then we should definitely do a hair match. I'll do it.
Well, let's think about that.
Right. Oh, here he goes already. Oh, man. All right, well, I forgot that everyone's listening, so we should wrap it up here. So thanks for what's going on in Go Rightly world? What you know, what's the latest from you? Books, I know you're working on a movie, and you got all kinds of stuff cooking. So, you know, update folks on what you've been working on.
I do got a lot of stuff. I'm working with a couple different publishers on a whole bunch of book projects, and... you all have to wait and see. I don't want to start talking about specifically what they are, you know, because you feel like you will jinx projects. And some of them, one of the publisher doesn't want me to talk about, because it's going to be some pretty unique stuff. Some of it is my own things I've written, and some of the projects deal with unpublished manuscripts by... certain famous authors who have passed on. And so there's like really a several projects I'm working on. Be pretty interesting stuff. So got that going on. I got my latest book is The Who's Who of the Manson Family, which is kind of a companion volume to The Shadow Over Santa Susana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been released first as a Kindle book, but pretty soon here we'll have a hard copy edition. That's through VGPress.com.
Nice.
And I'm working on a few projects with those guys there. Then the movie projects, there's a couple of them. One I've written the soundtrack for. It's called The New Prophet by an Australian filmmaker. It's kind of a sci-fi occult film. The filmmaker's name is Samuel Fielder. And the music for that soundtrack is also on a CD I have available called Transmissions from a Dying Planet, which you can get on Amazon. Some of my own music. Then also working with Mr. Fielder on this documentary, which we filmed towards the end of last year out in California, Southern California, and some of it on the central coast of California with a whole host of different paranormal researchers, conspiracy researchers. And we went to some unique locales out there like the Integratron and Salvation Mountain and interviewed a whole host of people and kind of hung out. Among the people we talked to in the film are myself, Chica Bruce, Greg Bishop, Walter Bosley, Nick Redfern, who else? Rich Pauly Sorbet, among others. I think we interviewed a total of like 23 people.
Oh, wow.
So should be a pretty interesting film. I think we filmed over like 30 hours, so the director now is at, he's in the editing phase where you try to take 30 hours of stuff and whittle it down to like a 90-minute documentary. And I think he still wants to come out here and do some more, a little more filming, locale filming. So
nice.
I think it will blow some people's socks off, but it'll be a while in the making.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the end of this year, it'll be coming together. So, yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
What's your web hub? Is it AdamGoRightly.com or are we...
Yeah, there's the old website, AdamGoRightly.com. Then there's the blog, which is GoRightly.wordpress.com.
Oh, all right.
And I put up wacky stuff on there.
Yeah, that's one of the best blogs out there. It has a great sense of humor. More
places
should have that, you know. I get a chuckle when I go there. It's always a little titillating, a little risque as well, so may not be safe for work sometimes, folks.
True. It has a bunch of go-go dancer pictures on the sidebar, and I just pulled up the page. One of the things we have, one of the posts is satanic chicken breasts. And the wife and I went to the store the other day, and we were going to buy some chicken breasts. And I go, look, there. And one, there was one for sale at $6.66.
Oh, boy.
She says, well, I guess we'll just have to get that one. So I took a photo of it and put it up on the page. So,
how did it taste? Tastes like chicken?
Exactly, yes.
Nice.
No, it tastes like Satan.
Oh, boy.
And then I have, there's another post I put up there called Imagine Having All Your Blog's Search Terms Together in One Room. And what I said here, so here are my top 10 search terms for yesterday. I posted these because it was kind of interesting. Number one was Gaddafi Bodyguard. Number two was Alien. Number two was Stacia of Hawkwind. She was a new psychedelic dancer back in the day.
Jesus.
Number four was Jesus with Dinosaur. Number five was Alien Sex. Yeah, it's crazy. Number six was Bigfoot. Number seven was Gaddafi bodyguards.
Whoa.
Number eight was Eris. She's the Greek goddess of chaos and discord. And number nine, I thought I had ten here. I guess there's just nine. Number nine was green Star Trek girls. So now imagine having all of them together in one room having an orgy.
Oh, man.
I mean, the awkward one is Jesus with a dinosaur.
Yeah, that's a little... Just the logistics of all that are difficult to imagine.
That's kind of the crazy stuff. One last thing. This is a plug for yours truly. Somebody sent me a book called, what is this called? The Conspiracy Hall of Fame by Victor Thorne. And he listed his top 20 conspiracy theorists, and one of them was me.
Wow. Nice. And, so you're a Hall of Famer.
But what's funny, I get the little, it's kind of a booklet, and there's people in there like Jim Mars and Bill Cooper and...
Wow, so you're with some celebrated company here.
Yeah, Jim Keith, George Orwell. But what was funny when I was number 20 when I thumbed back to my section, it says Adam Go Rightly, but it has Greg Bishop's photo. I'm serious. I scanned it and put it up on the website, so I put up a post. New book reveals that Adam Go Rightly is really Greg Bishop.
That makes a lot of sense, because we tried to get you and Greg on here tonight, and I was excited because it was going to be the first time that I'd had you on together, but it didn't happen. So
you might be on to something.
Very mysterious. And now when I think about it, every time I've been on Greg's show, he reads texts from you, and I'm like, have Adam call in, and you never do. So I'm confused, but then again, I've met both of you, so I'm even more flummoxed.
If you met us, seen us together at the same time?
No, I have not.
There you go.
Eerie. All right, dude. On that note, I got to wrap it up here. You don't have to hang up, but we got to we have to say goodbye to the audience. So
okay.
Thanks once goodbye. Again. Go ahead.
Can I say goodbye to the audience?
Yeah, I was gonna set you up, but go ahead.
Goodbye, audience.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the next segment here on the 2011 BOA Audio Baseball Special. We got a doubleheader, if you will, here on this segment. Bringing in our two old friends of the program, Greg Bishop and Paul Kimball. And for the first time ever on the Baseball Special, we're having them both on at the same time. You know, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit and get a little dialogue going. So welcome back to the program, Greg and Paul.
Thanks, Tim. Hello, Greg. Hello, Paul. Hello, Tim.
There you go.
All in the family, we're ready to go.
Awesome. Well, let's begin here with opening days technically tomorrow, although the people listening will be tuning in next week. So, Greg, you were saying you've broken down and got the tickets. You're going to opening day tomorrow night?
Yeah, that idiot Frank McCourt and his stupid wife and the Dodgers, I don't know. But I like watching baseball, and we went and got a very small ticket package so we could get opening day. So we're going to opening day, night, whatever the hell it is, twilight tomorrow at 5 o'clock against the Giants so we can see the Giants mop the floor with the new Dodgers.
Now, what do you mean new Dodgers? Are they...
Well, there's some new people on there. I mean, it's not totally retooled.
Well, they have a new manager, too, right?
Yeah, I think that was the main thing, is having Mattingly in there, who's never managed before. Well, he has, I guess, as a fill-in, and screwed up royally a couple times while he was filling in. I don't think he's going to be a disaster, but it's the first year for him, so, you know, what can you expect out of that? I don't think he has a strong hand that Torrey had, but we'll see. I'm sure Torrey's sitting there on the phone every time something goes wrong and Mattingly freaks out and pees his pants. He'll call Torrey and ask him what to do.
What was the big mistake he made? Didn't he, like, make some kind of lineup mistake or something like that? Or something?
Well, I think that's one thing he did, but the other thing he did is he went out to the mound twice.
That was it, yeah. Yeah, then you have to pull the pitcher. That's, like, the rule.
Yeah. He went out there, and then he stepped off the mound, and then somebody said something to him, and he stepped back on, and I think they were playing San Francisco. I can't remember, but the other manager said, "Ho, wait a second," and they had to pull the pitcher.
I kind of like little things like that, because I'd never seen that before until a few years ago. It happened. There was a fight, actually. Yeah, that was it. The manager had gone out to the mound to talk to the pitcher. Then later in the inning, there was a fight, so he ran out onto the field then. And then it was like, oh, you've gone out twice. Now you have to.
Well, then he did it twice, because the other time he just went to talk to the pitcher, walked off the mound, took his foot off the dirt of the mound, and then turned around and went back to the dirt of the mound, and that was called a double double visit to the mound. It was just that little thing, but he broke the rule.
That's baseball.
He wasn't thinking about it, so you know it was a very public display of rookiness as a manager, but he probably won't do that again.
he's probably like goes over it in his head every time. Now, Paul, what's the mood like up there in the Great White North? I know you're really a Red Sox fan, but you're sort of our Canadian correspondent, and they do have the new manager as well up there.
What, you mean the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
You want to report on the Toronto Blue Jays? Here's my report on the Toronto Blue Jays. Who cares? They're the Toronto Blue Jays.
Uh-oh.
Paul, you can't say you don't care. You'll get a ton of people on the list complaining that you desperately complaining that you're supposed to care no matter what it is.
Little ufology seeps in there. Greg's still bitter about the not caring thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, we made Greg promise that he would say that he cared about everything, no matter what it was.
You have to care.
I care about the Blue Jays. I have no idea what's going on with them, but I desperately care about them, those wonderful Canadian guys.
As usual, you know, your Blue Jay report would be they'll win somewhere between 77 and 85 games. They'll be probably just good enough to not be good enough. And they're definitely going to miss Sean Markham, who's currently pitching in Milwaukee this year. Good pickup for the Brewers. And, you know, they've got a lot of good young talent, like they always do, and they're in a division where they should be able to compete, because the Tampa Bay Rays can compete, and the Rays, I think, actually have a smaller budget now than the Blue Jays do. But for some reason, the Rays have a better scouting staff, they just have a better organization, and the Jays are still basing their season ticket campaign on winning two World Series in a row a couple of decades ago.
Oh, God.
So, you know, the Jays, they're not a bad team. They're not a good team. They're just one of those teams that sits in the middle. And unlike a team like Tampa Bay, which might go up and down and up and down, the Jays never go up and they never go too far down. They're mediocre, average, and they're going to be mediocrely average again this year. In a division where, you know, if they were in the American League West or even the Central, they might have a shot. But they're in a division where you're facing two teams with two of the biggest budgets in baseball and another team, Tampa Bay, that has a good organization that manages to compete. And then another team, Baltimore, which has been abysmal, but, you know, they got Buck Showalter, and who knows, maybe Baltimore will win a few more games this year. So the Jays, they'll come in third or fourth in the American League East, depending on how Tampa Bay does.
Yeah, they make some kind of lousy decisions, because they traded Vernon Wells, who they had to like unload his massive contract. Then they signed some other dude to like the guy who hit all those home runs last year, to a massive contract. There's no way that guy's going to hit I think he almost hit 50 last year. There's no way he's going to do that again.
Yeah, he hit over 50 last year, and he'll probably hit 30 to 40 this year. He's the real deal. Batista's, you know, he's a serious player. I don't think he's going to hit 50 again, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop 35 or 40 out. And, you know, if you're in a fantasy pool, he's probably not a bad guy to have on your team, although, you know, if you're expecting him to hit 50 home runs, I don't think that's going to happen again. But that wasn't a fluke. You know, that wasn't some kind of Brady Anderson year. He was given a chance, and he finally performed. So he'll hit. Unless he's injured, he'll hit at least 30, and he could go as high as 40. So, he's the guy they have, but they just don't have enough other guys floating around there. That would be the upset of all upsets if they somehow managed to beat the Rays, Red Sox, and Yankees to win the American League East.
yeah,
kind of like VCU getting in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. Wait, oh, that happened, but you know, not even that is less unlikely than the Jays beating the Sox, Yankees, and Rays.
Yeah, because you can go on a good run in that environment.
Yeah, whereas you have to go on a good 162 game run in Major League Baseball, and you know, my prediction for the Jays, they'll go 85 and 77. That's what I think they'll do this year, but it's not good enough.
Now, Greg, how are you feeling now that your hated rivals, the Giants, won the World Series? You guys all pissed off or what?
Well, I think people were pissed off at the time. I'm
I'm not pissed off because they had a good team, and plus they haven't won it even they haven't won a series in a long time. They screwed up royally in what was the last time they were in? It was with the Angels. Was it 2000?
Yeah.
They made a lot of really stupid mistakes with their stupid manager then. So I think they were due, and I will not fight with Go Rightly about it, for even though I know he wants to.
Come on, Greg. The truth is, you just don't care, right?
I just don't care about it. Yeah, I do. I care desperately about it.
Well, I was giving Adam a lot of crap because he wanted some kind of extra award or something because his team won, but he didn't even pick them to go all the way. He just picked them to win the National League. So I was a little torn on how to handle that. So we gave him the Adam Gorelli Silver Slugger Award.
Did you just create that?
Yeah. Yeah, we just created that. So
just to make him happy.
Yeah, well, I felt like his insane style of picks actually almost paid off if he had just gone all the way with it.
Yeah, but, well, a stopped clock is right twice a day too, so I think I'm going to call that the stopped clock method. The other, he's put something up on Facebook about the Giants going, you know, going to go all the way or something again this year, and I said, you might be right with that Buster Pansy guy they have.
Oh, no.
Meow.
Anything. I can make fun of him because it's Go Rightly, but the guy is a good person to build a team around. He is, as Paul says, the real deal.
This Buster Posey? Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, you just can't help but root for the guy because he's young and he's kicking ass.
Indeed, absolutely. Now, Paul, you must be very excited about the Red Sox this year.
Yeah, you know, as excited as I can get about a team that has a budget twice the size of Canada's, you know, national debt. So I still love the Red Sox. I'm still a diehard Red Sox fan, but there are times when I think it's more, you know, just what I grew up with and not necessarily what they are now. The giant corporate machine that has become the Boston Red Sox, I think they could probably use a year or two of just going 69 and 93, and I'd be happier. Because, you know, I miss the plucky Red Sox. Now they just go out and they say, you know what, we can actually outbid the Yankees. Well, okay, you know what, when you can outbid the Yankees, you've become the Yankees. So,
yeah, there's an identity crisis there of sorts with that whole thing, for sure.
Yeah, but, you know, having said that, a little bit of ennui or existential doubt, yeah, sure, it's exciting. They got a good pitching staff from the looks of it. And Gonzalez is obviously a great pickup, and you know, their lineup is stacked. I mean, on paper, there's no team in the major leagues that looks as good as the Boston Red Sox. And in the old days, that meant a guaranteed third place finish. But in the new era, I think that probably means a guaranteed first place finish in the East, and then see what happens in the playoffs. So, despite all my kibitzing about the Red Sox and their giant corporate identity and everything and the money, you know, yeah, it's going to be fun. They'll be fun to watch, and that's good.
Yeah, well, it was tough last year because they had all those injuries and everything. It was like watching the farm team a lot of times. The ratings went down, like, really down the tubes and shit, so it was kind of a crisis year.
But you know what? If somebody came to me and said, look, here's your choice between you can go see the Boston Red Sox play in – let's. Seeing the Sox play in Fenway would be great, so I won't say that. But let's say that I'm out and I'm visiting Greg in California, and I have a choice. I can either go see one of two games at Anaheim. I can see the Red Sox play the Angels, or I could see the Kansas City Royals play the Angels. I'm just picking the Royals. I'd go see the Royals play the Angels. You know why? Something about the Red Sox. In Fenway, I'd love to watch them live. But on the road, some of these smaller teams with younger players, they're plucky. Like the Pirates. The Pirates are horrible. They're just horrible. But there's something charming about their horribleness that I enjoy watching on television. So I might be the only guy on the planet that would enjoy a Cleveland Indians-Pittsburgh Pirates doubleheader. Oh, yeah, the Kansas City Royals, mano y mano tonight with, Houston. Okay, actually, you know what? I couldn't do that, but I can do Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
that Houston actually looks vaguely sort of okay. Okay, didn't they kind of get high last year and just drop out of it near about the middle to the end?
I thought they were terrible from the beginning. I think they went like the longest team to go without a win last at the beginning of the season.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty terrible this year too. They're 11-23 in spring training. So
that doesn't mean anything. Ha ha ha.
No, it doesn't. But it doesn't mean anything if you're the Boston Red Sox and you're 11-23.
Right, right.
You know, but if you're the Houston Astros and you're 11-23, yeah, that means something. It means you're as bad this year as you were last year. By the way, Greg, the Dodgers are 13-21 in spring.
Yes,
training.
I know.
Yeah.
I was at pains to see them. I think they won like five in a row in about the third week, and then that was about it, you know? And then they started off spring training by losing like eight games or something. It was pathetic, and it was frightening, and it's still frightening, and I think they'll come in, like, if they get in the middle of the pack in the West, they'll be lucky.
So you say you got a package. What games are you going to? Any particularly good ones? They got any good interleague games this year?
Yeah, they got some. What I've done in the past is kind of go with the 25 game. It used to be like 27 games, but people were getting pissed and they were worried about the team as well. They should be, so they bumped it down to a 25 game package. But we couldn't even afford that because of my job situation. So we got the one where they pick the games for you, which is, I guess, okay. At least we got opening day. See, we probably more care about just going to baseball rather than if something exciting is going to happen
right. With
a particular team. However, Giants opening day, Giants on Sunday after opening day, Cardinals on April 17th, Braves on the 19th. We got the Brewers, Marlins, Reds are coming, who probably have a chance. I got Astros. Detroit, there's one interleague we're going to.
That'll be good.
Angels, Mets, Rockies, who I am predicting are going to make it high in the standings. D-backs, Phillies. Paul, you know, you're going to be in here house-sitting for us, right?
Yes.
I have tickets to two games when we're gone, which you are perfectly welcome to.
Oh, nice.
Who's playing?
Yeah.
I'll go anyway, but who's playing?
Let's see. We're leaving on the 21st, so we got Saturday, May 28th with the Marlins. There you go with your
plucky spring. Young teams, yeah.
Sure.
And the 30th with the Rockies. So you get
a
team and a pretty good team.
Yeah, no, count me in. Fantastic.
Hey, nice.
Make it down to the stadium somehow or get somebody to take you. They're yours.
Yeah, my brother might actually be coming out to join me because I was thinking, look, you know, Jim Knout, we'll watch a couple of games. The idea of going to see the Angels and the Dodgers play anyway, so that would be ideal. Plus, he can rent a car, so
right because Paul is by international law is not allowed to rent a car anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not true, is it?
No, not really.
I was gonna say. You never know. You never know with Kimball. So
those tickets are here for you as a thank you for taking care of our insane cat. Now she's pretty mellow.
Yeah, oh, I dig your cat.
Maybe. I was just in Albuquerque, and I was trying to buy an Albuquerque Isotopes hat, and the damn place was closed on Sunday, their gift shop. However, there was a game going on. Like, why is the gift shop closed on a game day? I think it was spring training. Minor leagues have spring training, right?
I don't know.
Well, there was a game going on because I heard people cheering and I heard an announcer. Well, maybe it was Monster Trucks and I couldn't see, but I think it was an actual baseball game. The Dodger Stadium had, over the spring, had a 50 tons of dirt dumped on top of the grass, on top of some plastic, so they could do motocross and crap like that. And they had to replant all the grass about 3 months ago, and now it's ready to go. Weird, but the company that did it paid all this money to kill the Dodger Stadium grass.
Are the Dodgers, has all that been settled now, all that controversy there with the divorce and everything, or are they all set? Are they still fighting about it?
I think they're still fighting about it, but I think the biggest blows have already been struck. Now they're just arguing over who gets what. Because of that, I believe a lot of money's still tied up. So when trade deadlines come around, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know whose purse strings are going to open up or what. Somebody came on Facebook, at least my wife saw a few days ago. Oh, no, she was looking at the Dodgers website, and there was some completely unrelated story about the owners, about Frank and Jamie McCourt. And it was like, you know, one of their, like, Chad Billingsley pitches a gym at spring training, and the first comment at the MLB site was, "Sell the team, you damn lowlife."
Oh, man. I think the news came out after the special last year, but you must have heard that whole story about how they paid some, like, psychic genius, or for lack of a better term, some psychic in Massachusetts.
I think some, like, Russian psychic.
Yeah.
To, like, put mojo on the team or some damn thing.
So weird.
But funny, you think about that, it's like, oh, God, those superstitious. It's like, baseball players are the most superstitious people in the world. Why not the owners?
That's true.
I'm not superstitious. When I play softball, I have to go through a routine and do all these weird things, and I didn't plan it. I've just gotten all superstitious about it. I don't know why.
I don't know.
So, yeah, are the owners immune? Probably not. I'm sure there's a lot of other stories like that that would horrify a lot of the fans, even more than a divorce sucking all the money out of the team and keeping it in the toilet.
You still play softball?
Yeah, in fact, after we're off the phone here, I'm going to a spring training scrimmage here.
It's like, yeah, all right, so you guys have a spring training.
Yeah, well, we don't have to, but it's kind of nice to go out there and make sure you haven't forgotten how to do things before. I play pickup games on Saturdays, too, sometimes, so I kind of keep in practice. But we're getting away from the subject at hand here, I think.
Yeah, now, Paul, do you play softball?
What? Sorry? I'm asleep there.
Do you play? I'm trying to include everybody.
Oh!
Jeez.
I fell asleep.
You're saying you don't care. Is that what you said?
You're just saying you don't care about me and my softball. He did come out to one of my games, though. He was really cool
exactly.
About that. And then he came out and pitched for about 15 minutes, and I caught for him, and he was pretty good.
Wow. Nice.
It's baseball. Well, he pitched baseball.
Yeah. See, I played softball for 1 year about, 10, 12 years ago. Yeah, about that. And, no, gosh, it's 15 years ago now. And it was, yeah, fine. But you know what? I played baseball when I was a kid, and so softball doesn't really interest me too much. So, you know, when Greg and I, we went out to this park, and it's amazing. I can throw a ball. I certainly can't throw it as fast as I used to be able to throw when I was a kid because I sort of blew my arm out. But I can throw two balls. And it starts to hurt, or I can throw 20 or even 50. It all depends on the day. But it was weird when I was out with Greg. It didn't really hurt. And the speed is largely gone. But as I think Greg will attest, the control is still pretty good.
Yeah, it took him about three pitches to get after not having thrown a ball, I think, in months or years. It took him about three pitches to get at the point where I didn't have to jump out of the crouch. Which is pretty, I mean, you know,
yeah.
That's pretty damned good. And it stung when it hit the glove, so he still has some velocity.
I'm looking forward to a Jamie Moyer-esque career in my 40s now. But, yeah, it's my only claim to sporting fame. When I was a kid playing minor league ball, I was actually, very briefly, the number one starter on a team where the number two starter actually went on to play Major League Baseball. He played for the Jays and the Oakland Athletics. For a couple of years, he was a short reliever, or middle reliever, rather.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's my only claim to athletic fame. Reflected glory.
I don't have any. I sucked in Little League. I was on a team that lost every game. Every single game the entire season. Then I was in the next time my team was on, we came in second through no fault of mine because I couldn't see the ball.
Why, you need glasses or something?
I needed glasses, and I didn't know it. They put me out in left field because where do you put people that suck? So they put me out in left field about once every three or four games. I'd hear all this yelling. And I'd be looking around, and about 5 feet from when the ball was about 5 feet from me, I'd see it, and it'd smack me in the face. And I didn't know it, and I couldn't see the ball when I was batting, you know. So it just looked like I sucked. And then about 4 or 5 years later, we find out I needed glasses. Because when you're When you can't see, you don't know you can't see.
Yeah, because you're like a little kid, too. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's the way everything is. So, yeah, I had to find it in softball to realize that I had at least, you know, an average to slightly better than average athletic ability so that I could actually play on a team and not suck. So it was kind of a revelation for me that I could play an actual game with a ball and a bat and not stink at it. And that was about the same time I became interested in baseball, so which was like 15 years ago.
Nice. All right, well, it's time to put your money where your mouth is because it's prediction time. Are you boys ready?
Yeah.
Greg goes first.
Oh, I was going to say Paul goes first. Why, are you going to change things based on what I said?
No. I just, you know, age before beauty.
I'm older than Paul by, what, 5 years?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
AL East.
you quickly moved in. Yeah. All right. Let's start with the AL East. Who you got?
Sox.
All right.
AL Central Twins.
All right, nice. Okay. I think that's going to be one of the make-or-break divisions for everybody because it seems there's quite a different array of picks across the board on that one. So.
Yeah, and Oakland for West because their pitching's been improved quite a bit.
Nice. All right.
Wild card Yankees.
All right, interesting. All right, I like these picks. All right.
Okay, NL East, Braves.
Nice, wow, all right. Bit of a surprise.
Well, they've retooled, and I think it might work. I mean, what's his name? Is he not managing anymore?
Bobby Cox? Yeah, there's a new manager now, yeah.
Right. I think that might make a difference. Central Cardinals, that's a pretty safe one. And West, a non-safe one, Rockies.
Nice. So you're sort of going with the teams that are on the cusp that might make a run.
I kind of looked over all the different picks and sort of vaguely half paid attention to some of the trades by reading up on it, because usually I only pay attention to the Dodgers and the NL West, as you know. Everybody's saying, ooh, nothing happens in NL West. Well, that's where I live, so that's where I'm born, so screw you guys. Wild card Phillies.
All right. Nice. Okay, so we're interesting picks. All right. I like this.
Okay, do I have to go?
Yeah, we'll go all the way here. Then we'll get Paul's picks here. So who you have for the AL champs?
Sox.
Okay, National League?
Cards.
Oh, wow, all right. So Red Sox, Cardinals, World Series once again. Who do you have going out on top?
I guess I'll go with the numbers and say Sox.
All right.
I know that makes you two happy, but that's just how I see it. And the
Yay.
Dodgers, if they're lucky, will not come in last.
Who won't come in last?
I said the Dodgers, if they're lucky, will not come in last. That'll probably be left up to San Diego or Arizona.
Yeah, San Diego. Well, they made a pretty good run last year with a couple of good players and a lot of young guys.
They're there to Boston.
I know, yeah. But that trade had been coming, you know, they've been working on that trade for like years, so.
Yeah, I know. It was nice to see him when he came by to L.A. and when I went down to visit in San Diego and realized he wouldn't be there for long.
Yeah, but think about all those nationally televised games he'll be on now. Every other week on ESPN, practically, I'm sure.
Yeah, Paul's turn.
All right, Paul, what do you got? AL East?
Well, I got Barry Bonds will be found not guilty.
Oh, good.
Interesting, okay.
I think that's an important prediction. I think Roger Clemens might well be found guilty, but after the Bonds verdict, I think maybe Clemens will get off too. So I think really that covers it for baseball, doesn't it? Bud Selig must be happy. The two biggest stars of the last 20 years are both going to be in court this year. One's already in court, so that tells you all you need to know about the last 20 years.
That's for sure.
Okay.
All right.
The American League East, the Boston Red Sox. You have to be insane to predict otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Tigers in the Central with a side order of fries.
Nice. Your favorite team there, the Tigers. That's a throwback to the original baseball special.
There you go.
All right, the AL West.
I have tried everything to find a way to not pick the Texas Rangers, but I'm going to pick the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
Oakland's got a wonderful pitching staff, but I don't see the offense. So.
Yeah, and plus they tend to cut bait rather than fish by halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
still Moneyball in it, so.
Yeah.
I think Oakland will finish second, but I think that's Texas this year.
Okay. Wild card?
The wild card pick's going to be the Yankees.
Ugh.
That's what I said, yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. They could go either way this year. I'm kind of hoping for a really dismal season just to embarrass them.
Who doesn't?
That's true.
Yeah. I was sorely tempted to pick Minnesota as a wild card, but the Yankees, their pitching will hold up, and I think picking up, they've made some decent pickups. And I think somewhere in the middle of the season, they'll make a trade if they have to bolster.
That's the feeling I have, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll take the Yankees for the wild card.
All right. Now on to the National League.
Take the Braves in the East.
Nice.
I will hold off in the Central. I'll come back to them in a second.
Okay.
I'll take Colorado. I agree with Greg in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Giants for the wild card.
Okay.
And the reason I didn't pick them.
I'll take the Milwaukee Brewers in the Central.
Ah, nice. All right.
They've loaded up for 1 year to take one shot while they still have Prince Fielder. They got Markham and Greinke, although he's out, but he'll be back. I think, you know, that's my wild pick. But I think the Brewers, this is going to be their year. This is the year. So.
I like that, Paul. It's the thinking man's Central prediction.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I also have the Brewers, so I'm in total agreement there.
Well, wait till they go 68 and 94, and then we'll see how thinking man it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then who do you have facing off in the World Series, the AL and the NL champs?
The National League champ will be the Colorado Rockies. The American League champ will be the New York Yankees.
Wow.
You traitor.
Hey, I'm just going with the way I feel, man.
Wow. I'm more just impressed by the gutsy pick.
I think the Yankees have one run. This is it. This is the last year before they probably have to start really rebuilding the franchise. But Sabathia and Hughes in a short series, Mariano Rivera with one last hurrah. Plus, they've got, you know, tons of backup for him in the bullpen. And I think the lineup will hold up. And in a short series, a seven-game series, I think they're better than the Red Sox.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
And the World Series champion will be the Colorado Rockies.
Wow. All right. Interesting. Okay.
Well, that'll be nice to see after the last couple years ago.
Yeah.
They just rolled over.
Well, it's good to see a little diversity here in these picks from the both of you guys. It was getting pretty standard here. I had to sort of break from the pack myself. I took the Braves to win the National League championship. So.
Oh, okay.
I just what's that?
What are the other predictions? Can you mention them on the show?
Yeah, I can mention them. Like predominantly Philly. I think everybody so far up until Go Rightly picked Philly. So.
Oh, I have Paul did it, I think, mostly with his analysis, and I did it partially with analysis and partially with inspiration and emotion. So
that's kind of how I did it. I sort of went by the feel of it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think I took more of a, I don't know, maybe like somebody, a fan or a player analyzing. Well, I don't know, Paul. Did you use emotion and intuition in there too?
I used a dartboard because I had.
Ah, well, that can be affected by emotion and intuition if you believe certain people.
I had such a miserable raft of picks last year that I thought, you know what? Last year I picked the Seattle Mariners. Year, my Seattle pick is probably the Milwaukee Brewers, but I really think they're going to do it. And the Phillies, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. You know, everything looks good on paper, but they've got injuries. They don't have Jason Worth anymore. And you know what? Lee, Oswald, and Halliday are all over 30. And at some point, you know, they get a lot of innings on those arms. So I'm not sure all three of them are going to make it through the season in one piece. If they do.
How I am, I didn't even know Worth had left.
Yeah, he's in D.C. with the Nationals. There's a career move for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, take the money and run. So, yeah, that's my gutsy thing. I don't even think the Phillies make the playoffs this year. And then somehow Philadelphia implodes as a city and disappears off the map. What happened to Philadelphia? I don't know. The Flyers lost the Stanley Cup and the Phillies didn't make the Major League Baseball playoffs, so the city doesn't exist anymore. Celebrations in Pittsburgh, footage at 6.
And the whole time Paul was doing his predictions, I oiled my glove for this season.
Wow. It really is a baseball special.
Yes.
You don't want to know what I was oiling while you were making your predictions, Greg.
I knew you were going to say that. I was leaving the door wide open for you, and you walked right through. Thank you.
There you go. You set him up. I'll hit him out.
Yeah, yeah. When in doubt, leave the door open. Kimball will come through with some kind of filthy double entendre.
Indeed.
It's the what's next for you part now, so we'll start with you, Greg. What's next for you? Anything crazy coming up here in 2011? I know you're going to be at Leslie Fest at the end of April, the Wake Up Now conference.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's one of those things. I get this feeling that it's the last one I'm going to speak at for quite a while. So what I'm going to do is complain about ufology and say how much it's terrible.
Nice, nice.
And instead of just whining, make some I think, reasoned suggestions as to how it can change. Even to the point of just stopping certain things for a while. Like, don't study abductions for, I already said this, forget abductions for 5 or 10 years, if you can. You know, that kind of stuff. Also, I'm in the middle, at Paul's suggestion, actually, who gave me a little pep talk when I lost my job here, I am retooling the Radio Misterioso site almost as we speak. So that will be up within the next probably 2 or 3 weeks if I can get the damn thing working. And I'll have a site that's just me, like Nick has for himself, and anybody that's actually writing has for themselves, so people can go there and see what they're doing, see what they've done, and kind of have a reference if somebody wants to hire me for something or whatever. And that'll be gregdbishop.com, because Gregory and gregbishop.com were taken.
Oh, wow.
I'm working on a fictional thing that I was supposed to write with Mac Tonies, which I mentioned once in a while. But that's all I will mention about it. A fictional story.
Okay. Any news on who's that fucking guy you're supposed to reveal the identity of there? Falcon?
Yeah, that's going to be on the new site, too. I mean, that will be probably what I launch the site with, unless somebody like 40 and Times will pay me for it still.
All right. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
To have something extra on it. There'll be other things on there, too. I mean, I've got audio recordings I got from Bill Moore, from Roswell Witnesses. I've got, you know, a couple hundred pounds of files from various places, but mostly from Bill Moore, who didn't want them anymore. The first thing in the box when I looked at it was Kenneth Arnold's FBI file.
Oh, wow.
Caliber and kind of stuff that's in there. So I got to bring it in the house and just start cataloging it. Maybe when Paul's here, I'll be about halfway through it. He can take a look at it, too, if he's interested.
Nice, nice.
And that's about it.
All right. So gregdbishop.com. People should keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I've got it registered. I just have to throw some content on it, which I will, and there'll be, you know, stuff that isn't anywhere else. And also, like I said, from time to time, exclusive stuff that you'll only be able to get there.
Nice, nice. Paul, what about you? We mentioned this on Greg's show, but we're working on a movie here, Beyond the Best Evidence. So people should we have a website for that yet?
The best place to go for information about that is my company's website, although there's a dedicated Indiegogo website, but I'm not exactly sure what the URL for that is yet. So go to redstarfilmtv.com, and check under In Development, and you'll see Beyond Best Evidence, the UFO Enigma. And that's where we're trying, you know, we're doing something different, which is community fundraising. There are other sources of money coming into the film, but we're basically saying as well, and filmmakers are doing this more and more all the time now, but for us, we're saying to the UFO community, if you will, or people that are interested in it, hey, join our team, become part of this journey, help us make this film the way that we all want to see films made, as opposed to the way that the networks want to see films made.
Exactly.
We're going to make this one totally independent of the mainstream networks, who I'm happy to work for in other areas, but for this one, because we're going to be talking about the theoretical aspects of the UFO phenomenon, which I don't think the mainstream networks really give two rats behinds about, you know, we're going to do it with a community of supporters, hopefully, if it works, and create a good film that way. And, you know, other resources that my company and various other things bring to bear as well. So yeah, it's fun. It's a Kim Binal partnership.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we're going to have you on the show during the campaign to talk about it. So we'll delve more into what we have planned for this film and how people can get involved and really get involved and, you know, like you said, be a part of this thing because that's what we really want, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's so much grousing about UFO movies and UFO TV shows and stuff, and here's the opportunity for people to actually make a difference. So that's what I'm excited
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Everything from, you know, a $5 donation to we'll have a level between there and $1,000 if you really want to, you know, go whole hog. There's room for everybody to become involved. There's different things that people at different levels will get out of it, as well as just becoming involved. We're offering sort of perks to make, you know, more value for your contribution. And at the end of the day, I think, well, you know what? If you think I make good films and if you think Tim runs a good show and a good website, we have a pretty good track record between the two of us. So we're probably the two right guys to make the film about the theoretical aspects of UFOs. And it'll be a companion piece to my earlier film, Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings.
Absolutely.
I think you ought to auction off an associate producer credit.
Well, if you donate $1,000, one of the perks you get is you get an associate producer credit.
Okay.
So
yeah.
that's the level there. And, you know, we're also taking private investment. I already have some of that. So people can also go that route and contact me directly. My email will be there on the Indiegogo site, and people know where to find me. And the other thing is I have a feature film in development up here in Canada, like real development, not just my own company, but government funding development. And I'm hopeful that actually starts shooting in the fall. Things look pretty good. And we might have some very interesting casting news for science fiction fans soon.
Oh.
We'll see.
So it's like someone they'd know?
Oh, yes. Quite so.
Oh. Nice. All right. Well, on that note, thank you once again, Paul, and thank you, Greg, for coming back onto the show and discussing baseball here for the baseball special. Obviously, Greg, you're just smashing the shit out of the all-time appearance record on this show, despite the audience's reaction to the year-in-review episode.
Yeah, well, it is your show. It's not the audience's show. That's what I always say when people say anything about mine. I say, well, when I start making money for it, then I guess I'll start listening to complaints and being polite about them instead of just saying, ah, it's my show.
So what are you saying, Greg? Are you saying you don't care about the audience reaction?
I don't care about my emotional state based on an audience reaction.
There you go.
There you go. All right. On that note, thanks again, guys, and we'll all be in touch.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. See you, Paul.
See you, Greg.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
That does it for the 2011 BOA Audio Baseball Special. Big, big thanks to Jason Offit, Lauren Coleman, Adam Gorightly, Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, and the US of E's League Minimum for joining us on this year's festivities. Moving right along, as I noted, this is probably one of the least listen to editions of the program that we have each season, so I don't want to feature somebody's email here on listener feedback because there's a good chance they may not be listening. So we're going to skip listener feedback on this episode. We will have listener feedback on the Tracy Twyman episode that's coming out the same day, so tune in to the end of the program for that. If you want to get in touch with me, that's simple. There's three big ways to do it. You can write to boaaudio@hotmail.com. Or go to banalofamerica.com, B-I-N-N-A-L-L, ofamerica.com, and click the contact button. And the final method is to join up at the official BOA forum, theusofe.com, theusofe.com. We've still got the 2011 Baseball Predictions Contest thread up and running, so if someone wants to throw in a final set of predictions, I won't hold it against them. It's cool. We'll allow it. So if you want to join in on the fun and try and become a part of the 2012 BOA Audio Baseball Special, go for it. Join up at the official BOA forum and try your luck. Beyond those means of contacting me, I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, so feel free to befriend me, poke me, or follow me. It's all good. I'd love to hear from you on there.
Up next, let me thank the outstanding and esteemed BOA staff, Leslie, Chiron, Regan Lee, Jovi, Tina Senna, Rochelle Hawks, Richard Thomas, Marla Pena, Bruce Pretty, Tony Morrill, our contributing cartoonist Andy Carolan, and our webmaster Jeremy Boston. Lots of great stuff from the BOA staff up at the website. You definitely want to go and check that out. We say it all the time here at the end of the show, but it bears repeating. If you're only listening to BOA audio and you're not reading the columns at Banal of America, then you're only getting half the story. BOA, make it a part of your everyday search for esoteric news and opinion. Normally, this is the part of the program where we ask you to make a donation to Banal of America and BOA audio. But as noted during our conversation here with Paul Kimball, we are on a major fundraising mission here to help fund the film Beyond Best Evidence, the UFO Enigma. So if you want to make a donation, that would really be the best place to do it right now. You can go to Indiegogo, IndieGogo.com/UFO to find out more about how to make a donation and what you get for making a donation. This isn't just throwing money in the bucket this time around. Here, with this project, you get a whole bunch of perks for each level of donation. So if you throw $50 in, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff in return when the film is made. So check out Indiegogo.com/UFO or go to banalofamerica.com and click the ad there for the Indiegogo campaign for Beyond Best Evidence, the UFO Enigma. No donation is too small and all donations would be greatly appreciated. Normally, I take this time to tell you what's going to be happening next week on BOA Audio, but we're running two episodes at once here today, so let me just tell you to head on over to Banal of America and pick up the next edition of the program. That one, of course, is purely paranormal, and it features razor-sharp esoteric researcher Tracy Twyman talking about the marriage of alchemy and the economy. Truly remarkable stuff, mind-bending material from Tracy Twyman. A very long conversation. I think it clocks in at well over 2 hours. So quite a bit of stuff there. It's really a feast for the mind and one you're definitely going to want to check out. That's Tracy Twyman on BOA Audio. You can find it right now at the website. And I'll just hold off, I guess, on teasing what's on next week's edition of the program until I tape the final segment for that episode. And with all that said, let's wrap up the program here with one more final thanks to the great guests who appeared here for the 2011 BOA Audio Baseball Special. Jason Offit, Lauren Coleman, Adam Gorightly, Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, and the US of E's League Minimum. And of course, I want to thank all the great folks out there listening right now. I mean, you are the super hardcore BOA Audio listeners. You're the folks who actually listen to the Baseball Special. I know it's only a handful of you, but if you're tuning in this far, thank you. Thank you so much for your support of the program. You guys are the best. Thank you once again for making BOA Audio a part of your esoteric audio playlist. And on that note, until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening and signing off.